This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there, welcome to another episode of The Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and on this podcast, I ask the questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and a different pair of guests try to answer them. You would know today's guests from their many and varied appearances on stage and screen. They're both actors, but that is certainly not the only strings they have to their bows. One of them is also a playwright and an author of a graphic novel, and the other is, I believe, putting the finishing touches on the third novel in his fantasy noir series of books. Welcome to the show, Toby Schmitz and Luke Arnold.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you,
Johnny. How are you both?
Awesome. How incredible to just be hanging with both of you. Straight up.
Yes, all the better for being here.
Yeah, great. Thank you both for doing the quiz. What do you feel like might be your specialist subjects, either of you?
Oh, look, I just loathe quizzes, Johnny.
Well, thank you for agreeing to do this one.
Well, exactly. It's because it's you two. I get to hang out with you two. I think there's a promo at the beginning of your podcast at the moment, which is like, if you love quizzes and want to hear this keep going, it's like, absolutely no to the first one, sort of to the second. But if there was like a third option, it was like, or just want to hang out with two people I love, I'd go, tick.
Yeah, good. I'll do that. I'll do that then.
Yeah, I think whatever love up I had of quizzes and whatever confidence I had in knowing anything has just diminished so greatly in the last, 18 months of just being the world twisting around the way it has. I feel dumber than ever before and completely out of touch with everything. So I don't have high hopes, but... still happy to be here for the hangout anyway.
Or maybe we've got better at, like, weird trivia because of it. We just don't know. There's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, that is true.
And I love your podcast, Johnny. And I have to say that it's one of the only podcasts I listen to, which I listen just to go to sleep. It's a soporific thing for me. But with the promo, I feel so unseen by podcast promos.
Yeah. How do you mean?
Well, they're always just like ads for like, would you like to go back to TAFE and study to be a carpenter or how to invest in something? I'm like, you so don't know me. But your ones, they're onto it. Like whatever ads are for you. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, they're targeted. You feel targeted?
I feel well targeted.
As
I drift off to sleep by round two. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you won't drift off to sleep during round two while you're actually doing the quiz. And we're going to take a break now for some targeted advertising. We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Luke Arnold and Toby Schmitz, and this is question number one. Which Impressionist artist was born with the given names Jacob, Abraham, Camille? How are you both with your Impressionist painters?
Not bad, but I'm not good with their original names. Like, I can't even remember Mark Twain's original name or Bowie's whatever. Like, that's
what is that one?
Exactly. So is it an Impressionist painter and, shall we say, French?
Yes, he is French, mm-hmm. Although he wasn't born in France. Uh-huh. He was born on the island of St. Thomas, which is in it's now the U.S. Virgin Islands, but it was at that time in 1830 when he was born. Uh-huh. It was part of the Danish West Indies.
Okay.
So he's Danish French. And all I need from you is his surname. So Jacob, Abraham, Camille are his given names.
Bit of a show pony. I mean, like to change the name, you know, and maybe kept it Triple Barrel. Ooh.
Well, no, they're just his given names, like his first names. And so he always had his surname, but that's the question. What is his surname?
Right. Sure. Who has the surname to those given names? Right. Yeah. It wasn't a switcheroo. Great.
I mean, what's the little limpy one? Lautrec. You know, who ends up going around. Well, yeah.
He's a bit more post-impressionist to be.
Okay, sure.
And he's
Gauguin a little post as well. I'm just thinking Ireland. Gauguin,
yeah, yeah. Well, this fellow, he was considered by the other impressionists to be something of a father figure and kind of the granddaddy of impressionism. But he did, of course, keep painting and I guess turned into a neo-impressionist.
Is it one of the M's? Is it one of the
no,
M's?
No, it's not one of the M's.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah, my mind was stuck on M2, yeah, so let's I'll scrap that out.
No, scrap the M's.
It starts with P and is very, very similar to...
Pissarro.
It is Pissarro, yeah.
Oh, nice.
You were going to say Picasso.
Of course. Same. I was.
God, I'd forgotten how good you are with your clues, Johnny, as generous.
Yeah, I guess I am. Yeah. That's the name of the game. It is Camille Pissarro. Mm-hmm. So he was born Jacob Abraham Camille Pissarro. Okay. Well done.
There we go. Lovely. I had to completely defer to Tobes there. And I mean, you've written a play with art in the title. So, like, surely you were going to get it before me.
All right. Question number two. Who carried the Australian flag at the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics closing ceremony? And there's a bonus point for naming how many gold medals Australia won at the Paralympic Games. Did either of you watch any of the Paralympics?
Absolutely not.
No. And I didn't watch any of the Olympics. It all completely passed me by.
All right.
Yeah.
I've pointedly not done so since I can remember.
You've got something against the Paralympics?
No, all of the Olympics. Anything to do with sport, Johnny. Bread and circus.
Look, I did look at this question and go, I don't know if these guys are going to...
I think maybe in somewhere... Like, it wasn't completely intentional. I was just doing other things. But also, I think maybe there's a little bit of a protest to... the treatment arts has had in relation to sport in the year that Tobe and I both share and like to rant about after a couple of drinks. So Paralympics, this is going to not be our area.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get this one. EC are her initials. But I quite liked watching the Olympics generally. And particularly with the Paralympics, I really enjoyed watching what is called murder ball or wheelchair rugby, which is fantastic. And I also really loved watching, I think it's called goal ball or something, where it's for visually impaired participants and they kind of wear a blindfold so that they're all entirely
now we're talking
without sight.
Yeah, equally. Yeah. Yeah.
There's like a court, like about the size of a basketball court, and on either end are goals that are almost the full width of the court.
Oh, yeah.
And there's three aside on the court at each time.
Yeah. And there's drones everywhere.
No, there's no drones.
No, okay, cool.
But they lie down and purely on like audible, you know, how they can hear where the ball is going and how... And, like, it's tossed and bounced towards the goals, and it's incredible.
I mean, I'll watch that. This definitely, I do think of the mini-protest against sport extending to the Paralympics I feel a little guilty about, especially now hearing about murder ball and goal ball.
Blind murder ball.
We've obviously missed out on some amazing things.
Yeah. Look, all right, her name, I'm just going to tell you her name.
Do we just guess E-names? Erin, Emily.
Why not? Sure. Why not? You go the first one, I'll go the second one.
Okay, yes, I'll go with Emily.
Churchill.
No, look, this is terrible.
Yeah, this will go on. We don't have time for this. Yes.
No, her name is Ellie Cole.
Okay.
What did she compete in, and what is her disability, Johnny?
Well, she had her leg amputated at the age of 3 due to a cancer, due to a tumour, and she is a swimmer. And she's also played wheelchair basketball, but I don't think she competed in the these Paralympic Games in wheelchair basketball. But she claimed her 17th Paralympic medal in Tokyo, becoming Australia's most decorated female Paralympian with 6 gold, 5 silver, and 6 bronze medals from 4 Paralympic Games.
Huzzah. Wow.
Brilliant, yeah.
And so... the bonus point.
You want another stab in the dark round?
Just have throwing another out stab numbers? In the dark. How many gold medals Australia won at the Games?
21.
Yes. Is exactly correct.
Stop it.
Stop it. Well done.
This is someone who spends too much time in a casino by himself.
well done. Yes. There you go. Right. We've got the bonus
point. Bonus point. Okay, we got the score
point. All right,
good.
Fantastic. All right, we're up to question number 3. And that is, what is the name of the flat-topped mountain that overlooks the city of Cape Town in South Africa?
Should you say the first word and I'll just say mountain, Luke?
Yes.
Go.
Table.
Mountain.
Very good. And now you understand, gentlemen, why it was that I invited you on this episode.
For that, yes, well, there, for that question. Like so that was it. We had that was our one gimme that we got after spending 4 years in Cape Town, where I also did play an amputee. So that could have been a connection to that other one as
Indeed.
Well.
Of course. You are referring, obviously, to Black Sails.
Yes, yeah, well, we played.
Which is the television series where you both played pirates.
Mm-hmm. Which you can still watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you can still watch on, what is it, on Binge?
And Stan and Oz.
Yeah, Stan. And I think, iTunes and it's around. But yeah, Stan and Oz, if you've got there, you can stream it.
Excellent.
Check it out. But just spent many a morning staring out at Table Mountain over 4 years there.
And it is quite a strange and unsettling and quite majestic thing.
Yeah.
Like there's not many places in what is essentially quite a flat town, city, that you can't see it from. Mm. And this is long, flat line dividing the sky and the town and all the different kinds of weather that come over it.
Yeah, I think in all our 4 years there, the clouds on top of it never looked the same. The way they kind of pour down one side, it was continually changing and morphing.
And really mesmeric. You start seeing it inside or in your sleep. Just the silhouette of it, you really do.
Is it something that one climbs?
Yeah. I did it my first day. I arrived in Cape Town, bumped into Toby Stevens and Tom Hopper, two of the other actors on there, and we immediately climbed the mountain. It was the first thing we did.
Oh, wow. Oh, great.
Yeah.
You can also take a cable car up there, which I did after 3 years.
You finally got up there after 3 years?
Yeah.
But you never climbed it?
No. Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like it. Even those sort of mesas or whatever they're called in parts of Middle America that are those flat, sort of almost Looney Tunes in my head, bits of the desert.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so big and so flat and yet so high.
I only saw Uluru for the first time last week.
Oh,
the other
wow. How was that?
Big mountain of our lives. Amazing. Incredible. Yeah, I finished a job in the Territory in Alice and went down there and spent a few nights just kind of camping in the car and walking around it. And it was amazing. It was incredible to finally get out there after, we spent our lives seeing its image and looking at it, but it does absolutely have a power. Yeah, really incredible country.
You must have got Table Mountain flashbacks in some way.
Yes, there was something about, as funny as we were talking about it, there is something about living in the shadow of a kind of natural monument like that that does, it did remind me that every day going up and going, oh, yep, go and look at the rock. Look at the mountain.
Yeah.
It's always there. Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
Try not to look at the rock.
Yeah.
Well, well done. Yes. I mean, you both got that very quickly.
Yeah.
Which is
great. Really had to think about that one.
All right. Question number 4. Which multinational insurance and finance corporation shares the initials of Australia's 4th largest supermarket chain? I know. It's a little bit of a... odd
IGA?
One.
And
it is IGA.
Yeah.
But do you know what they're the initials, but what is the Multinational Insurance and Finance Corporation?
International How Grubby Assholes.
How do they have those initials, IGA? Because it's not IGA. How do they have those 3 letters?
I don't know. Look, we should scramble.
What do you mean they're in a different order? I mean, what do they stand
They are
for?
In a different order. That's exactly what I mean. And what is that order?
AGI?
Or
AIG?
AIG.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Which stands for American International Group.
I was about to get the first two, but yeah. Group. Okay.
Yeah. American International Group. They're a finance and insurance company. And do you know what IGA stands for?
I don't know, but I did the voiceover them for them for years. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, how the locals like it. And I got paid for a while. And then my local IGA were playing it for years after I was still getting royalties from it. And I kept ringing the agents, going, they're still playing and I'm a little poor. But every time I'm just down the aisle getting my groceries,
I hear my own voice.
How the locals like it. But it was rather torturous.
Is it Independent Growers Association?
Oh, well, not growers.
Growers.
What do you call someone that sells fruit and vegetables?
Grocers. Yeah, grocers. There we go.
Independent Grocers of Australia.
Of Australia.
Well done. All right, question number five. In which year did the Korean War begin?
Early 50s. I'm going to say 52 or 3. I'm going to go with 2.
A little earlier.
One.
Even earlier.
Oh, then it's out of my realm.
No, it's very early 1950s.
Well, then 1950.
1950 is the right answer.
Yeah. I didn't know it was that early.
Yeah, your specialty subject is more World War II, is that right, Schmitz?
It is, and I find it confusing as soon as we get to that peninsula. Yeah, but I knew,
yeah, right.
It was early 50s.
Yeah, well done.
Well, not well, well done. Done, Johnny. I didn't get it. And if you give me the point, if you give us a point, I'm going to be disappointed.
I give points left, right, and center.
Okay, we'll take it.
Take the point.
My grandpa was in the Korean War, my mum's stepdad, and I've been to Korea. But this is kind of what happens with me in quizzes. Like, if you did, like, a Slumdog Millionaire movie about me, like, you could flash back to the moment where I get the exact information, like, last week, and then you come back to present day, and I still have no flippin' idea what the hell it is. Like, I do not retain this information. I've sat down and talked about it. I've been there on the tour to the DMZ, where, you know, like, talked about that.
You've even been there.
Yeah, but I don't retain information like that.
That's why you have a granddad and why you took photos.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe that you've been there.
What I do remember about that, like, I don't remember any of the facts and the figures, but, you know, I remember the romantic
things. I had a really good meal.
Yeah. They tell you, like, the DMZ is actually, like, an amazing sanctuary for otherwise extinct flora and fauna because no one goes there. You know, so when they're in South Korea, they're like, there's a lot of, like, look at what with our brothers and sisters in the north. Look what we created. We've saved all these kinds of birds and things like this. And you're like, yeah, in a very strange way. But that's the kind of stuff I remember.
Well, for those playing along at home, it was 1950 when the Korean War started.
Yeah.
We're going to take another little break. We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Toby Schmitz and Luke Arnold. This is question number 6. What avian-related term refers to a structure in the upper part of the main mast of a ship that is used as a lookout?
Ah, crow's nest.
A crow's nest, it is.
Is that it?
Again, yeah. Another one. Another reason why
look at
you're
that.
On this week. Do you know when the crow's nest was invented?
I think it was, I don't think we had
or when it was called the crow's nest.
It was called the crow's nest.
Yeah.
I don't think we had them when we were doing our stuff, were we?
I don't know. This was like season one, episode something or other where both
there's the sharpshooter.
Shooting from.
Yeah.
I
almost remember some conversation about not having the crow's nest in that.
Yeah, right.
Sense
what year were you set in?
We were sort of 1715. So is it post 1715 that it's called
it
that?
It certainly term? Is, yeah. It's about 100 years later.
Oh.
In 1807.
When crows were invented.
when crows were invented. It was someone called William Scoresby who apparently put a barrel up there to create a, you know, a better security in terms of a lookout. But of course, the technology of climbing up the tallest thing on a boat to see further out was used, you know, as far back as the Egyptians and probably further back. All right, question number 7. Name the character played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus in the TV series Seinfeld.
Elaine.
Yeah.
But, you're not a Seinfeld fan, are you, Schmitzy?
No, I'm not going to go so far as to say that I loathe it as much as I do any sort of organised sport. But like, I've seen some eps, and it gets like one or two chuckles out of me. Yeah. And that's not enough for 25 minutes of my time.
Elaine Benes? Is it Benes?
Yes, it is. Elaine Benes. Yeah. I didn't know that about you, Schmitz, that you're not...
Yeah,
really
I didn't like it at the time and had to really keep it to myself and have slowly come out
but
about
she,
it.
But she's incredible. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and
I mean, obviously
Jason
the cast
Alexander.
Is fantastic with insane comic timing. I was just like, I don't know, maybe it was just like a whole too much sort of 90s sitcom already.
Yeah,
but I didn't care what they were perverting. Or maybe I just had better things to do at that time. Like
maybe.
Not sitting at home watching television.
But what about you, Luke?
Oh, no, that all was right in the, you know, Seinfeld was all in the wheelhouse of me at high school. You know, that's on at 7 o'clock in that when all you do is watch TV, you know, before out, you know, Schmitz was out running amok at that point, but I was still at home, you know, playing video games and watching telly. So, yeah, I think I'd probably seen every episode.
All right, question number 8. What well-known biscuit is made with rolled oats, flour, sugar, butter, golden syrup, and desiccated coconut?
I want to say you're Anzac, but I'm not sure. I'm going to check in with you. Is that right?
Yeah. Anzac biscuit. Do you fellas do some Anzac baking?
Like I do some Anzac eating. I do. No, the one thing I bake is, going back to Christmas. This is a Christmas episode, everyone.
Oh,
Is a mocha berry trifle. Great. That's kind of every year I'll make that. But otherwise, I do very little baking.
Maybe you could make a Anzac-inspired trifle, maybe.
Oh, for Anzac Day, do it. Yeah, give that a go.
Maybe
that'd
you could have like a golden syrup jelly, and maybe a coconut sponge.
All right, I'll work on it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll see you next Anzac Day.
Don't call me.
Master Chef deconstructed.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds sickening already, but, you know, we'll give it a go.
All right, question number 9. In Scottish Highland dress, where is the plaid worn?
What do you mean, on the kilt? What do you...
Well, the checked
The tartan.
Cloth. The tartan.
Why are we avoiding the word?
Why are we? The tartan or the checked pattern is on certainly the kilt, but there is an item of that tartan that is actually called the plaid.
Oh, the plaid, right.
Well, from 12 years at Scotch College, I'm pretty sure that the sporran goes on the groinal area.
Correct.
I was thought sporran was going to be the it was a question about a sporran. I was expecting sporran too.
So where else not is the sporran? Where else is on the kilt to wear it?
But it's on the dress, so it could be a sash. It could be
another
a hat.
Part.
Could be an earring. But more like a sash, a hat.
Yeah. So it's a Scottish word for some other bit of
right. So it like a kilt is made of tartan cloth.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's a sash. I reckon, Lukey, or it's the thing around the hat. Like I can't think of anything else made of ankle.
Yeah. Upper thigh?
Is
it like a garter?
Damn. Itchy. But worth the wait when you take it off.
Over the shoulder.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
It is worn over the left shoulder, but it's more than a sash. Actually, it's a very long piece of tartan that is pleated, and it's sort of wrapped around the body, goes over the shoulder, and trails down the back almost to the ground as a sort of cape Absolutely. Thing as well.
I remember them well from yeah. my schooling, but I wouldn't know how else to describe where they hang on the body than to say
yeah,
it's
well,
a sash.
Yeah, over the left shoulder is okay. the
So
is
I reckon
Loki
got us our point there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
During your years at Scotch, mm-hmm. did you kilt up?
Sorry, I'm just getting my therapist on the other line. No, occasionally. But I did live next to the school for 12 years and we marched into assembly every Friday to
some pipes.
Bagpiper band, exactly.
Yeah. Well, often the bagpipers or the pipers will wear the full dress, which includes yeah. the plaid.
Which is its own thing in 40-degree Perth heat, its own kind of absurdity. But growing up next to the school for 12 years, I reckon about sort of 6 or 7 a.m. most mornings, you'd hear a whole lot of, I don't know, 10, 12, 14-year-olds learning how to play the bagpipes at dawn, which is its own particular sound. So I can't hear the bagpipes or even really think about any sort of kind of tartan without getting a certain kind of itch.
What about you, Luke? Have you been to Scotland?
I have been to Scotland. I was dating Scottish girl for a few years, so I was in Scotland. I did not... I really want to get to the Highland Games, and I didn't.
Not a kilt in your wardrobe either, Luke?
No. It never quite got that far. You know, I think that was maybe the moment where I realised what was down the road for me. It was like, I could stay in Scotland, get myself a kilt, really settle in, but came back home to Australia instead. It was tempting, though. Yeah. I'd love a kilt.
What about you, Johnny? I feel like in my memory somehow I've seen you in one. Some comic part you've been forced to put one on for?
Yeah. The reason that I went to Edinburgh was with Bell Shakespeare when we did the kids' version of the Scottish play.
Gotcha.
And in that I played Lennox. And
someone has
I,
to.
I wore a kilt, yes. I wore many, many dresses in that. Yeah.
That is bold, sending a bunch of Aussies to do the Scottish play in Scotland.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was quite bold because over here, obviously, when you're doing it and you're doing it as a kid's kind of funny version. Yeah. So I had, for Lennox, I played like an incomprehensible Scottish bro.
Like groundskeeper Willie.
Yeah, like, yeah, fool lay that, you know. But going over to Edinburgh and going... Oh, sorry for the... is this insensitive, culturally insensitive?
Panic attack at 30,000 feet.
but I was fine. They quite liked it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Nice.
All right, we're up to the final question. Question number 10. What company, beginning with G, was in 1995 the first provider of pay TV services in Australia?
My mind goes to Google, Luke, but I know nothing.
No, wait, can I hear the question again, please?
Yes, of course. What company, beginning with G, was, in 1995, the first provider of pay TV services in Australia?
Is it tricky, Johnny? Can you give us a clue this close to the buzzer? Is it a bit of a tricky question?
Well, I mean, it's
didn't
just
see that coming.
It's a company that was providing pay TV
stuff.
Yeah, like pre-Foxtel.
Yeah, like Foxtel and what's the other one?
Yeah, it's not I remember people had the little discs on their roof. And it's not Galaxy?
It is.
Is it
exactly
Galaxy? There we go, yeah. Okay.
Well done,
Galaxy.
All of a sudden.
And you're right, they had the technology that they invested in was the satellite dishes and microwave transmission. And that's kind of why they failed, because that technology was much more expensive than rolling out a cable from house to house.
I mean, I said it wasn't going to happen, the Slumdog Millionaire moment, but I flashed right back to like a frisbee on a roof. Like I saw it all there. I read the writing. I came back to the present moment. It works.
Brilliant. Yeah. There it is.
I do have some long-term memory.
Well, I'm so glad we could facilitate a Slumdog Millionaire moment for you, Luke. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh,
Toby Schmitz, Luke Arnold, thank you so much for doing the quiz.
What a joy.
Thank you for asking us. I do think there were some piratey questions, some Cape Town questions. This was.
Yeah, we didn't suck.
I can see why you brought us in.
You didn't suck at all. You were great. I saw, Tobes, that you, you're in a show. What's it called? S-O-Z or S-O-Z?
Yeah. Soldiers or Zombies.
Soldiers or Zombies. When the heck did you make that?
Just pre-crisis. So like, March a year ago. Yeah. I went to Mexico, had one of the funnest times of my life doing this crazy thing where I was one of three gringos on the show, playing the part that you and I would play, not
the,
Luke.
The nerdy scientist.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Literally wearing a lab coat among soldiers.
Yeah. And you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, it's out
right now.
Versus Zombies.
Yeah. I just got Amazon Prime back today. The premonition of this moment. Done. That's what I'm doing.
Sort of.
Yeah.
And what were you just shooting, Luke Arnold? Is that a secret?
No. It's out. Well, it's not out. It's known about a show called True Colors from Bunya Productions with SBS that we shot in Alice Springs. Very lucky to be working on something that, you know, in a place like that at the moment. That's about a kind of detective going back to her community near Alice to solve a mystery. And it was Burroway Hick, Miranda Rotto, Warren H. Williams, who's like, before this, like quite a well-known country singer, who was one of the creators on this. But yeah, it was just the best. Got to be, you know, spend a few months out in Alice Springs. It's like a four-part, really cool story. A lot of it in Aranda, like the local language, a lot of kind of new first-time actors. It was really special. So yeah, I've been very lucky to be working on that. We just finished it. I guess it'll be out sometime next year.
Super. Well, thanks, fellas.
Pleasure. Thank you, Johnny. Good to see you.
Thanks for doing the quiz.
I love you both.
Love you both.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Saturday Quiz. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you listen to it like Toby does to get to sleep, I hope it's done the trick. Sweet dreams. Thank you to my guests, Toby Schmitz and Luke Arnold. If you haven't seen the show they're in together, Black Sails, you should really track it down. It's a lot of swashbuckling fun. Thank you, as always, to Cindy McDonald for writing the questions, and thanks to all of you who keep supporting the show. I'm really very grateful. If you don't already, please subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, and if you can rate and review, I'd really appreciate it. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.